Time for our first check-in in the new year with Quincy School Committee Vice Chair Anthony Andronico. Happy New Year, Anthony.
Happy New Year, Joe. It's great to be back, and I appreciate you having me on. I hope your 2021 is off to a good start, and I hope everyone that's watching is also having a good 2021 so far.
Thank you. Likewise. And hopefully by the end of 2021, we can do this in person. but in the meantime, even actually the school committee's not in person anymore, right?
At least this past meeting, you know, just like everybody else, we're not immune from COVID-19. And sometimes you got to go through quarantine protocols. And I guess you could say at the moment, we're also taking a hybrid approach. And we need to do what's in the best interest of our own health as well. So depending on, the number of cases and if any of us are in need of quarantine or any staff are in need of quarantine that would be in that room. We switch it up depending. So it's a fluid situation. And to your point earlier, I wish we could reach a point where we could do this in person and not have to even consider a virtual option.
Right. But we're happy to have this option in the meantime, certainly, so we can keep folks informed. And then to that end, we can't not talk about the varsity hockey program and how COVID's impacting that right now.
Right. I mean, that's been a difficult situation for the past week. Quincy Public Schools Superintendent Mulvey, Health Commissioner Jones have been in what feels like constant contact with the state regarding in DPH, Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed, on just what are the protocols, and what should QPS be doing. So for those that might not be aware, Quincy and North Quincy had a game with each other on Saturday. It had came to light through photographs that there was potential that the teams may have violated the sports guideline protocols that the state gives out in order for sports to be allowed to occur. And on Sunday, the superintendent, in conjunction with Health Commissioner Jones, made the decision to inform the players and that they needed to quarantine for at least, the next 10 days pending testing, et cetera. So that call was made on Sunday. On Monday, we got word from the state effectively that because no one at the time was a known positive case, that technically these students would be allowed or should be allowed to attend school in person if they had selected that approach. However, they did violate the sports protocols, so they couldn't continue with the hockey program at that time. And then the next day, we got further update and we would have preferred that the hockey program be able to continue originally on that Monday, given the information that we had. So we went back to the state and we said, all right, well, what if we, got updated masks that better stayed on the face masks and on their faces so that it was easier to maintain those protocols, and that we better mark social distancing spots at the Quincy Youth Arena. They said that would be a good solution, and we were able to get those masks. We said, okay, you can start practice up on Thursday. And then, Wednesday was okay. And then the first thing Thursday morning, we got a report that a student, I believe it was a student that was positive and was most likely contagious during the game on Saturday, which then resulted in the state saying, okay, as per protocol, everyone that was involved needs to quarantine. So, four updates for the span of 5 days is, it's not ideal. And I think this situation in particular highlights just how difficult it is to just do what you think is best. A lot of these are judgment calls. And I would like to point out that had we listened to the superintendent and Health Commissioner Jones from the beginning, that this situation would have been avoided, but we were doing what, we were supposedly thought or told from the state and following the guidelines that we were supposed to. Difficult situation. I feel for those kids. I feel like it's just been a roller coaster ride for them. And I wish there was a different outcome right now, but we need to follow what the guidelines are from the state.
Sure. I know there was a lot of backlash, after that hiatus initially was called. And you can understand when people are frustrated, anxious about all this. But as you say, health and safety has to come first. So we won't dwell on that anymore, but we will ask you if you could explain the COVID metrics in the entire school system, Anthony.
Oh, just all the metrics. So we, yeah. So just following along, I mean, ever since Thanksgiving, you know, cases have been steadily rising, and they've continued to do so after the winter break through Christmas and New Year's. And that's just within Quincy, within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Within Quincy Public Schools, just folks that are within our community, you know, the number of daily cases, I think the 1 week, rather the 2 week average was a little over 5 cases a day, and the 2 week average is increased, or the 1 week average is increased to around 6 or so. We haven't definitively been able to identify in-school spread, which Health Commissioner Jones and the team believe is due to the fact that we have been following guidelines the way that we should be within schools, maintaining that 6-foot distance and ensuring mask wearing as much as possible. We know it's difficult. It's not an ideal situation, but it is because of those guidelines that we haven't seen that in-school spread. You know, with that said, we have talked about, you know, what would returning to school look like? Is it possible? And the number one difficulty that we would run into is that if by maintaining that 6-foot distance, if you return to sort of a full in-person approach, you might not have the space, and from the looks of it, you most likely wouldn't have the space to run that type of program in our schools. And also, at least for now, districts are still required to effectively run two different types of schools, an in-person school and a virtual school. And you still need a certain number of staff to be able to deliver that schooling. And simply put, I mean, we just don't have the adequate number of staff, and the employees are just not out there, potential staff are not out there to make that happen. At least for right now. So that's something that we've talked about with the guidelines. You know, we're approaching about a year of this type of schooling. And we're genuinely worried about what this will mean moving forward for our students and potential learning gaps. And to your point earlier, just social emotional health, seeing their friends every day, interacting with each other, interacting in person with their teacher. It's really critical. And we're hoping that, you know, in the coming months, we'll be able to possibly develop a plan that will get them back in the classroom safely with more in-person learning time.
Yeah, well, you know, President-elect Biden spoke about it during his address last night, the American Recovery Plan, and the goal, you know, to get public school students back in class by springtime. It's a great goal. I'm sure he'll do his part on the federal level to achieve it. But, you know, locally, it's going to require vaccinations, and I'm sure you talked about that.
No, we did. So just the vaccination program in general, for the folks that don't know, teachers in public-facing roles, and, you know, folks that work at your grocery store and just in public safety in general, public health, but not necessarily first responders, are in phase 2 of the vaccination program here in Massachusetts. And phase 2 is set to begin at the start of February. So that's sort of when we'd have potential access. We haven't gotten word from the state on exactly where within phase 2 teachers would be. But we're hoping, obviously, that it's sooner rather than later, because the earlier you start the vaccination program, at least for educators, you know, the higher the likelihood is that we would be able to return to the classroom on a more consistent basis, which is what we're looking for. What we had discussed at our meeting was that we're not overly optimistic that, you know, teachers will be fully vaccinated by the end of this school year, which at least to me is it's not ideal at all. I strongly advocate to the state that timeline be bumped up so that we can get students back in sooner, especially I know the administration at the state level has been very adamant about the importance of getting students back to school. And I think that if they moved this process along, that more districts would be able to do so.
Will it be a requirement, Anthony, that teachers get vaccinated?
No, it won't be a requirement. That's something that was brought up, just like anything. You know, this is a vaccine that the state has not mandated us to push. I think if someone, particularly for staff, if staff are comfortable teaching every day in the building, when they're not vaccinated, that's their prerogative. But we would definitely want to make sure that they have access to it moving forward.
Have you heard from the state if it'll be a requirement for students?
No, we haven't. I highly doubt that they will make this a requirement. With that said, you know, I do plan on taking it when it becomes available for me. You know, I'm a younger, relatively healthy person, so I'm last on the list, which is where I should be on this list. And, you know, I'll be happy to take it. But it's a judgment call that other people need to make for themselves. You know, they need to do what they feel is best. And as long as it's available, you know, I think that's the what you can hope for.
I know you've received an update on enrollment figures in the Quincy Public Schools, if you could share that with us.
Yeah, we did. So enrollment overall from pre-K to 12 is down just a touch. We're down about 200 or so students, most of which is made up from pre-K to 1. And that's understandable. Those early development years are really critical. And I know a lot of families have made the choice to, you know, place their children elsewhere, at least for the time being. And I understand that they're going to do what they feel is best for their child and their child's development and education. With that said, I do believe that Quincy Public Schools still maintains a great program. And, you know, we're doing everything that we can to make sure those students continue those important developmental years.
Sure. So you do think that drop is directly related to the pandemic?
Yeah, we were able to just look at numbers overall. I mean, it's pretty straightforward that it's a direct result. With that said, it's not reflective of every grade. For example, I think our seniors, we actually gained students in the senior group. You know, so it's a fluid situation. But I think that parents of younger children feel a little more strongly about it than maybe some older parents of older kids.
How does the Quincy School Committee feel about a former member now being elected Speaker of the House, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, we feel pretty good. Hats off to now Speaker Ron Mariano for becoming Speaker of the Massachusetts House. You know, he's technically the third Speaker of the Massachusetts House from Quincy. The first to do so, though, since John Hancock in, I want to say, 1780 or 1781, around there. So it's been a while. But to have him in that position, you know, a former Quincy Public Schools elementary school history teacher to start his public service career, you know, a member of the school committee for a very long time, you know, that he had done fantastic work there, being a state representative since 1991, you know, having someone in that position that I think understands what it's like to be an educator, understands the importance of public education, is very critical for education in Massachusetts moving forward. He's done a great job representing his constituents. I happen to be one of his constituents, and I was really pleased that you know, my colleagues felt that a congratulatory resolution that I offered up for him was in order, which passed unanimously. And you know, we're wishing him the best of luck. We know he has many challenges ahead, but we hope, you know, or we know that he won't forget where he came from and where he got his start. And I would like to point out too that now this marks not only the Speaker of the House, but the Senate President as well, are both former school committee members. So I know they'll think about school committee issues moving forward.
No, I wasn't aware. Karen Spilka was also very good.
Right.
And of course, Ron on the board of governors of Quincy College for a long time as well. So education has been a part of his career his whole life. Yeah. Anthony, February school vacation's coming up. Will you be distributing meals again, like over the holidays?
Yeah, we will. We got a great update from our food services team and Director Dufour about just how the Thanksgiving meal kits and the winter break holiday meal kits went. My understanding from the presentation is that the community really responded well to those programs. And I think it's a great thing to do when you're able to have sort of a fun activity for a whole family to take part in. And, you know, the kids can help out with the meal prep and kind of learn those soft skills. So I think that was a great program. And with the successes, you know, we're looking forward to rolling out some meal kits over February break as well. And another great activity for our families, and a great way to make sure that families in need are able to continue to put food on the table.
That's good news, certainly. Yeah, a lot of folks are struggling right now, too. I'm sure they depend on those, at least for one meal a day.
Right.
Grant money coming into the Quincy Public Schools.
Yeah, we got an update from our team just about some of the grant opportunities that we've had. You know, the grants that we do get, you know, they support our budget from staffing and stipends, student wages, professional development, curriculum, and then, you know, equipment and technology. Some of the programs that were out there that we got an update on was, you know, a QPS Ladders to Success, which was about $72,000. And the program it's a state-funded youth employment program that helps support teens and young adults to help obtain job skills, experience that they need to keep jobs and find jobs. And it's mainly around core soft skills. You know, learning how to relate to supervisors, coworkers, and it also incorporates a part of college and career pathway goal setting and things like that. So, you know, it was 25 grade 8 participants, 5 high school mentors, 5 CVTE staff and programs were supported, and we had a program facilitator as well. But that's actually a program that pays the students that are involved. And they can earn up to, I think it's over a little over $1,000 within the program to support their future efforts and whatever they might do. You know, we got a grant through Jason Learning, you know, $36,000 for digital STEM resources and some professional development to make sure that the digital content that we're rolling out is still applicable and as advanced as possible for our students. And another one that's pretty fun is a capital skills grant worth $141,000 to support the Career Vo-Tech Culinary Arts Program. And this program in particular, over the last 6 years and through, I think, 8 rounds of funding, that program has received over $1.3 million to support our students in the Vo-Tech program. So I want to thank Superintendent Mulvey and Keith Sagala at CVTE for all the work that they and their team do in making sure that our students have the resources that they need.
Very good. Your next meeting is coming up?
Yes, I believe that is on the 27th, if I'm not mistaken, just from my memory. And as always, we encourage folks to tune in. You know, you can always watch live on Quincy Access Television on the live stream, and you can go to channel 22. On cable access to watch our meetings as well. So we hope you'll join us then. And of course, in the meantime, if you need to reach out to me, I can always be reached at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com.
Great. Appreciate your time, Anthony. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Joe. I'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.